to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. cbf.com.au.
Welcome back to Community Connections. And being the fourth Wednesday of the month, it's time for Cindy McLeish. We always have a great time with Cindy. Cindy, I sent your message via fingers that it was 1 minute to go. I wasn't game enough to tell you when it was 2 minutes to go.
Very thoughtful, Alan.
Welcome anyway, Cindy.
Thank you.
And Cindy, we'd like to talk a bit about what's going on. You'd like to talk a bit about what's going on in Parliament at the moment.
That's right. Look, there's been a fair bit of talk over the last couple of years about treaty and the treaty process, and you know, there's been another step taken in Parliament today with the establishment of a treaty authority. And I know that people are not really sure what it means, and even the whole treaty process. So I just thought I'd spend a minute just saying what this authority is, because what happened today is we had two elders, Auntie Geraldine and Marcus from the Tunnerung, come in onto the floor of Parliament. And what they have done now is they've set up an assembly, a First Nations assembly. So Auntie Geraldine read out, I think it was 11 female names as they walked through, and then Marcus read out 11, I think it was 11, because there's 11 registered Aboriginal parties in Victoria. Oh. And so they walked through the, and it's very, very unusual to have anybody on the floor of Parliament that isn't an MP. It's quite unusual. So this was, you know, one of those very rare occasions. And I'm not even sure the Queen, she must have had to go into the other chamber. Can't remember what the Queen did once. Before my time. And and they made a little speech. But what the authority does, it puts a framework around the conversations.
Right.
So there's lots of conversations. People are going to do talking. They're going to do, you know, some truth-telling and a lot of yarning and things like that. Now, remember that there's a whole bunch of different Aboriginal parties that are out there, and also it's got a bit of a framework for dispute resolution, because they're known to have disagreements amongst them, and so they've got to try and work out the process to how to resolve some of their disputes within, you know, the different mobs and things like that. So what's happened today was the first step in just setting up the framework for the treaty authority. So it doesn't do any more than that. It hasn't signed anything over or anything like that. It's just the treaty to begin the conversations around what they would want and how that might come about.
Because I think some people are sort of, I don't know where it's coming from, but are frightened that they're giving away all sorts of stuff. But that's not part of it at all, is it?
That, look, it's certainly not part of this stage. It's certainly not part of this stage. You know, the process now is for them to talk amongst themselves and work out what it is that they want and how to get there. And, you know, we've got, as I said, I think there was 22 people on the First Nations Authority Assembly, they called it.
Oh.
And so, you know, that's happened, and that just the debate, the bill around that is likely to go all day. And, you know, I spoke on that just a little while ago and talked about some of the people that have had, you know, quite a lot to do, made significant change in and around the area. But one thing I didn't get to say, and you run out of time, 10 minutes goes like that.
Yeah, very quickly, yeah. Well, an hour goes quick here.
Yeah, there's been a lot of work that's done with Aboriginal language, and a lot of the schools are doing stuff on language. You know, they're voluntarily, you know, teaching kids about different things. And one of the, somebody I know said, you know, better than doing Indonesian.
Probably more important.
Yeah, more important. You know, understanding the culture, understanding the language. But, you know, there's in the Murrindindi Shire in the Tunnerung area, Talangi, everyone knows the township of Talangi.
Yep.
Talangi means stringy bark tree.
Does it?
It does. And Narbathong is a cheerful place.
So they actually have Indigenous names, basically.
Origins.
Yeah, origins. Didn't know
and
that.
And Tagadi is blue-grey clay used for body painting.
True.
And Murrindindi, and no one would be surprised about this, you know, mountain misty place. And what I love is to think for 40,000 years, the Shire of Murrindindi has been the mystic place. And, in fact, Marysville, you know, mystic mountains. They refer to themselves as mystic mountains. But that word Murrindindi is yeah, and I wish I'd said that, actually, because, you know, anyone who lives in Murrindindi Shire knows it's, God, we live in the mist.
What it's like. Well, certainly.
The mist and the fog, the low-hanging cloud and the fog, you know.
Particularly this time of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's lots of words around, lots of language and that people are documenting now. And you've got to remember that for the vast majority of the 40,000 years, there was nobody other than cave paintings. Mm. No one, you know, there wasn't the written language and pens and paper. So no one was documenting the history. So it's actually a really hard task to look back and get the history.
And you've got to make sure that what you're moving on as history is in fact history too, don't you? Not that it's just somebody else's impression of history.
Correct. Yeah, that's really important. And, you know, it's pretty hard to try and verify some of this stuff. Even around language, you know, to try and...
But when you're talking 40,000 years, it's pretty hard.
And I know at Warrawa, you know, they have girls come from all over this country. Mm. There's 40-odd different languages. No, there's probably not that at the minute. There might be 27 or something. I forget the figure. Different languages that are spoken around the country. So there'll be different dialects and completely different languages. And in Victoria, that would be the case as well.
Cindy, is it possible that some of those can't actually talk to each other because they don't understand each other, or is that not right?
I would say that's possible. I don't, yeah. I'm, you know, by no means an expert, but I'd say that's possible.
Yeah.
You know, English would be the common language,
yep.
But they must have ways, or they must have had ways, certainly, that when they would meet other mobs that they would be able to
communicate. But it might be...
They could communicate with the English settlers too.
Yeah, I was going to say, it could be like some of us, though, that when you travel overseas, you've got... There are certain words that you can get through and use, can't you, and make yourself understood, but you couldn't say that you carry on a decent conversation. I'm just wondering if that could happen with some of these tribes.
Look, it could, but, you know, one time, and I remember when I was in Greece, actually, a very long time ago, and I was on the beach and there were two little children playing. And one was Greek and one was from some other country. Yeah. Wasn't English, but I don't know. And so they couldn't speak, you know, because they...
Yep.
And they played for ages.
Yeah.
And they had fun and they managed to find a way to do the communications. And my girlfriend and I, it was a long time ago, you know, when I was backpacking, you know, we were sitting there watching them and thinking, you know, this is pretty cool that these kids have... All they had in common was that they were kids.
Yeah. Cindy, just very quickly, because I don't want to divert you off, and I know you've got limited time with us, you've just mentioned backpacking, which has got nothing to do with your job. Just very quickly, how long did you backpack and what sort of areas did you go to?
I backpacked for about 10 months, and so I spent the first few months in the States, you know, the UK, Europe, typical,
yep.
Typical stuff. Just with a girlfriend and, hung out on beaches and things like that.
Did you work in any of those places, Cindy?
No, I didn't actually. Oh, I had to save up really hard before I went away.
You went away. I don't want to get personal, but at what sort of age group did you do that?
Early 20s, maybe 23.
What did your parents think when you said, I know you're over 21, so you make your own decisions. What did your parents say when you first approached them and said, I'm going to go backpacking with this girlfriend of mine?
Look, they weren't surprised because two of my cousins had gone away. One of them was away for 2 years, one of them was away for 4 years.
Oh, right.
And they were older than me, so I think my parents probably weren't surprised. I'm sure they were hoping I wasn't going to be away as long as Jan was.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I've spoken to a few people and who have backpacked and at a young age, probably younger than what Cindy was, and they felt that they were on top of everything, but they said if their child came and did it now, they'd have a fit. But anyway, thanks for that, Cindy.
Alan, just on that, my daughter couldn't understand how I could go away without a phone. How did we cope without phones and the internet? And I
said, that's true.
We had things called guidebooks, and if we said we're going to meet someone at a particular day at a particular time, we did.
and there wasn't the mobile phones for mum to keep ringing and finding out that if they don't get the right if they don't answer straight away, that mum starts to panic.
Yeah.
Anyway, Cindy, we'll go back to what you're talking about. Sorry about that.
And I wanted to just continue on the theme of with the Aboriginal stuff, because we're out at Warrawa, and I don't know if all the listeners are familiar with Warrawa Aboriginal College. It's in just out of Healesville on the Woori Road, not very far out down Barrack Lane. Right. And it's an Aboriginal boarding school. For girls.
Oh, it's a boarding school, yep.
Boarding school for girls. Girls come all from all over the country.
Yep.
They come here. I don't think there's that many Victorians, but there's kids far and wide. They speak oodles and oodles of different languages. And actually, you know, like life hasn't been rosy for those girls. So Warrawa was certainly a safe place for them where they go and learn safely in a really safe environment, but become empowered so they can go back and try and be some leaders in their communities.
Cindy, is it mainly for girls that have had a bad history or is it just for anyone? It is. Sorry. Yep.
Yeah. Usually they have had mental or physical trauma some degree. And it's a great environment. It's beautiful out there, absolutely beautiful. But the Parliament of Victoria very recently partnered with Warrawa, and they've produced a new educational resource. So Dr. Lois Peeler, AM, she's the principal there. Lois was one of the Sapphires. The movie.
Yep, remember it.
Auntie Lois, Yorta Yorta, they work together and they've made a resource about Aboriginal change makers. So this is something that the schools can have access to help them teach about the history, the culture, identity and the struggle, and also recognise some of the people who brought change. And they've got different totem poles and art installations, and the gardens there are looking amazing. And the local guys who have, who look after the gardens have just done such a fabulous job. So for me, having been to Warrawa a number of times and knowing, we're in the beautiful setting all the time, you get all these people come out from the city and they're going, wow, check out this, check out that. And you're like, this is what we live in.
but that's true. But often the people that live there don't pay enough attention to it either, do they? Because it's there all the time.
No, that's right. And that's one of the things I do actually, Alan. I stop to look and, kind of smell the roses.
Yep.
So when you're at Warrawa, you look, or if I'm at Warburton, I look at the hills, or even at, Wesburn Primary School, you look around and you think, what a fabulous setting these kids have in their backyard.
Very often they don't appreciate it.
The views, the vistas.
Yep. Sorry.
But this is a great resource to help teachers become more confident, help schools know what to teach. So, and I think Parliament of Victoria did a really good job helping put this together, and they've got lots of stories. Stories are really a great way of helping kids learn and understand, and there's lots of images and a whole bunch of different digital activities to help them understand, what happened, how people lived, and, some of the things that these guys have done to bring about change and to better, life for a lot of the Aboriginal communities following some of the horrible things that had happened.
Oh, that's terrific. Cindy, you wanted to talk about Mount Donabewang.
Yes, and I bet that's an Aboriginal word or it's got some
probably
meaning.
Probably is too.
The senior sergeant, Tom Wilkinson at Warburton, who has since retired, started to convene a meeting of different local agents who were involved in Mount Donabewang, because there was lots of, what do we call it, antisocial behaviour, hooning, all that sort of bizzo up there, and they were doing damage and burnouts and leaving all this dump rubbish and stuff. A lot of people, locals, were complaining about it. The police had lots of complaints. I'd had complaints. Business owners had complaints. Residents were really worried. So Tom actually brought together a group of people who include business owners. So David at the caravan park in Warburton, at the holiday park, he's involved. Parks Victoria, Vic Roads, myself, the Advancement League. So a whole lot of the, people who have Warburton, you know, have some involvement in it. And things have changed, you know, like we've managed to get the speed limit reduced. And that was not so simple because parks own this bit of road or Vic Road owns that bit of road, you know, like, and it was trying to break down all these barriers to saying, here, this is what we need to get done.
Yep.
This is how we might do some of these things.
There's plenty of snow around, you were saying.
There's tons of snow around, actually. And just on the topic of Donna Buang, you know, there was snow on top of Donna Buang, and part of, you know, through the working groups and that, what we've heard, you know, is the feedback about how well the authorities or the agents managed the traffic in and around the township of Warburton and up on Donna Buang. Half the mountain's caved away up on the road.
Is it?
And ages ago. It's a big fix. It's a hard fix. It's quite steep, and so they've had to have one section where there's a single lane.
True, yep.
And anyway, that's managing okay, but, you know, like with up at the car park and all of that, they apparently managed it really, really well on the long weekend. The feedback was terrific. So good on all of the low people at work up there that make that happen, because there's buckets of snow, and as we know, Donna Buang is not far out of Melbourne, and especially if you live in the eastern suburbs.
Yep,
you
know, and school holidays.
Anywhere from Ringwood's easy. It's really close.
Yeah, and school holidays are about 2.5 days away.
That close. That's right. So you can get the toboggan out and you know, zip up there midweek. But equally, you know, zip over the spur and you can go to Lake Mountain, and they've got some great cross-country, great tobogganing. You know, they've had snow. I went to Mount Buller for the opening of the season, and they had buckets of snow, buckets. But I was only up there for I didn't even sleep the night, only up there for a few hours for the opening. And there wasn't a bed available.
Fair
opening thing. Weekend at Buller.
So it's going to be a good season for the snow people, is it?
Well, certainly the big alpine resorts, because one of the things that they have the ability, they've got a lot of snowmakers.
Yep.
And so usually on the long weekend there's never any snow. And so what they do, they make it.
Yep.
And it can stay frozen at 14 degrees. Like they can make it at 14 degrees.
Can they?
You know? It's extraordinary what they can do. And so and this year they've got a great base. You know, they've got like 80 centimetres base, something like that. So with that solid base, it means that they can easily and perhaps a little bit cheaply keep up with, you know, the snow. So there'll be plenty of snow, and it's a great thing to get out and do. You know, you don't have to stay the night, but, you know, you go and do Lake Mountain and Donna Buang. You know, it's nice, fun stuff.
And as you said, it's not, if you're living in the eastern suburbs or in the Yarra Valley, it's not a huge trip to get there, is it?
No, not at all, not at all. And I think this is probably an unusual school holiday that we've got so much snow.
Mm. So it's a great opportunity for a day trip.
Great opportunity for a day trip. You know, everybody in the Upper Yarra, got it at your feet, you know, or the Yarra Valley, scoot up to Lake Mountain, or, you know, even Buller's not that far.
Yeah, no. Badger Creek. You want to talk about Badger Creek?
So there's a few things at Badger Creek, not just the Healesville Sanctuary, and we've got the wonderful Badger Creek picnic grounds. And, you know, it got floored in the snow, in the storms a few years ago. It took a long time to get things restored. But the road leading into it is in an absolute appalling state. You know, the potholes are just incredible. Now, they did fix one little bit, but left a whole lot of it. And I've had, you know, people coming in to saying, listen, you know, our car pothole, it takes half the front off your car. It jars people so that their backs, and there was somebody with a back injury, said it was just terrible trying to get in there and get to the great outdoors. So it's something that, you know, I remain vigilant about and continue to push with the government to say, look, you've got to do some work. And, you know, we've got great places to go. People are being locked up. They don't want to, you know, they're not all going overseas, but they want to get out of the house.
I don't know whether you've been up. I went up to Warburton, I think last Sunday, or no, the Sunday before, and there's some huge potholes in the road between Wurrialik and Warburton.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately, they needed to be fixed before winter because they only get bigger in winter. If you've got cold, wet conditions, now, you know, we've had El Nino and that, you know, is a bit wet. They said it's probably stopped, but it might come back later. Well, you know, the damage is done. And, you know, most of the weather, the road work is done in dry weather. And so we've probably missed it for a little bit. So I worry. You know, I was at King Lake the other night at a function, and we're talking and having conversation about different matters and all the things that people cared about, and they're all saying, yes, we care about mental health and this, and then someone goes, and what about that pothole? And then someone says, what about this one? And a whole conversation, and it doesn't matter where I go, everyone says, you know, you got to fix the roads. And someone said to me the other day, oh, my God, all you talk about is the potholes. And it's, everyone tells me they've taken out half their car, they've done a tyre, this has happened, you know, that's happened, they've nearly run off the road. And just last night I got somebody from not sure where they were from, but they said on the Hillsville Cooey Rup Road, but it was at the other end. It was a Cooey Rup end. But they said that they did a huge amount of damage to their car, and then while they were waiting, they saw seven other cars do similar damage.
Yeah, because some of these potholes are big, aren't they?
Yeah. You know, if you're in the dark, and, you know, the dark or the fog, and let's face it, in the Yarra Ranges, it's a bit foggy. You know, we talked about that Mystic Mountain stuff.
Absolutely.
It's a bit foggy. You all of a sudden find you're on top of these potholes. So we've really got to get stuff done when the sun's out.
And the other problem that you've got, or that can happen, is that someone sees a pothole at the last minute, doesn't think about it, swerves right and finishes up hitting someone coming the other way. And that's happened on occasions too.
That's right. And that's what, you know, happens with animals as well. And they say, you know, you've really got to make a tough call because you don't want to hit an animal. But sometimes when people swerve, they actually cause more problems.
Than not.
Why not, you know?
Cindy, anything else you want to mention just before you have to go?
No, look, I've just mentioned to everybody that I am in Parliament, and question time is at 2, but I have a meeting before then that I've got to scoot off to and get organised for. So, but this is the last one for the year that I will be in Parliament, so rest don't clash.
We'll probably see you out here at the studio again.
In the studio.
Oh, it's really good because we can all be...
So I just hope all the school kids have, you know, a great holiday. They can get out and about. They don't have to worry as much about, you know, COVID restrictions now. I know lots of people are getting sick. Every, you know, second person. We've got half the clerks in Parliament this week are off. So, yeah, it's just people are running around trying to do several jobs at once, and we all know. Everyone's like, yep.
Yeah, and I don't mean a lot of the schools at the moment are having trouble getting CRT teachers because either the schools are down on numbers everywhere, so the few CRTs that are available, everybody's trying to grab, and some correct of the CRTs are sick as well.
And I remember when I was, when my daughter was little, 1 year at primary school, they had the grade threes and the grade fours in the one classroom. It was big enough that they had, you know, a couple of classes at each. And they had them in the one classroom. They probably even had three levels in. And, you know, because all the teachers were off, all the kids were off, you know, it was just they could make up one classroom. And, you know, it was for 2 or 3 days. And, you know, stuff happens. You got to deal with it.
Yeah. And
get a bad run of coughs and colds, that happens.
I was talking the other night to someone who you'll probably know, and the principal and the two associate principals were all in the classroom because they couldn't get CRTs, like they'd already used up any CRTs they could elsewhere. So it is pretty tough at the moment.
And do you know what? It probably doesn't hurt the principals to be on the tools here and there.
You're probably right there too, Cindy.
It's like, you know, when you've got the owner of the cafes and things like that, you know, they're all back working. And a friend of mine, they run Mount Sterling. And she said at the age of 73, she's now become the cleaner because they can't get one. The person who was the cleaner's got sick and couldn't do. And so she said, I couldn't replace them. So she said now she's doing that, which means she can't do her other job normally, and her husband's trying to do that as well as the classes. You know, just what's happening at the time. It's not great for a lot of employers out there.
No, it's not. Cindy, thank you for your time again. We look forward to seeing you on the fourth Wednesday of, that'll be July, won't it?
It will, gosh. New financial year and everything.
Yeah, well, I think this weekend is the shortest day, isn't it?
I think we just had it. It was yesterday.
Oh, was it? So
yes.
The good part of that is we start to head back to the longest day.
That's the way I look at it too, Alan.
So what?
It won't be long. It gets better again.
Thank you very much for your time, Cindy. We look forward to seeing you next month.